But now back to where Anthony and I are currently live. We're at the 5th annual TEDx Boston Conference, live from the Seaport World Trade Center. Now, the TED movement celebrates ambitious thinkers. The motto is ideas worth spreading. But after those 18-minute inspirational talks, which have been viewed millions of times online the world over, the question is, how far do these ideas really spread? That is the question we'll be asking, and we'll begin with transplant surgeon Dr. Bodun Pomahawk, who spoke at TEDx Boston in 2011. The same year, he and his team at Brigham and Women's Hospital performed the first full face transplant in the United States.
It's humbling to see that we have not made enough progress over the past 80 years. Even though we can transfer larger blocks of tissues, we still transfer tissues that do not belong to the face, do not function like a face, simply don't look like a face, and are derived from other parts of the patient's own body. What I wanted to do is try to figure out a way to really restore, to bring something new to the patient's lives that would really replace what's missing, perhaps moving from reconstruction to restoration. And that's possible only by transplantation.
Pomahawk and his team have performed four more successful face transplants. He calls revolutionary transplantation procedures life-giving rather than life-saving.
You heard him a little earlier speaking again at the 2011 TEDx Boston. He is director of the Burn Center and Plastic Surgery Transplantation Department at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. Pomahawk joins us now from the hospital where he's currently between surgeries. Dr. Pomahawk, welcome to Radio Boston. Dr. Pomahawk, can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program, truly. So we're asking this question of all the people we'll be speaking to this hour about how far their ideas or their developments and technologies have spread. You've performed four more successful face transplants since you spoke here in 2011. Have any other major hospitals also done them as regularly as you have, or is it still pretty much a procedure that's only done at Brigham and Women's Hospital?
Well, we're still belonging to one of the few pioneering institutions. There has been one more institution in the United States, University of Maryland, where one more full face transplant was performed. But in the worldwide scale, there have been now 26 or perhaps even 27 transplants to date. So it is certainly growing, although the growth is not exponential. It's incremental.
Yeah. In your 2011 talk, as Anthony mentioned, you called these transplantation procedures life-giving rather than life-saving. So tell me about how life has been given back to some of your early face transplant patients. How are they doing now?
Well, what we see is that the patients not only are fortunately doing very well medically, but they're really starting to live what one could consider a completely normal life. And I think the best and nicest example of that was our first full-face transplant patient, Dallas Wins, who happened to be also the center of the TEDx talk, who got several months ago married in Texas. And when I talked to him, I said, "Dallas, I know you're living your dream, but you have made our dream come true as well." Because that's exactly what we would hope for, that the patients are able to come back to regular life with everything that comes along with it.
That's fantastic. Now, have stories or successes like that help convince any remaining doubters amongst surgeons themselves that transplantation is more than just a cosmetic improvement in your patients' lives?
I certainly think so. I think that without a doubt, we, and I think all plastic surgeons, appreciate that face is more than just appearance. It's a very functional organ that we really need for daily interaction on multiple levels. And I think that we see it in larger numbers of referrals that we get from the United States as well as from all over the world. But there are many other places that want to get started and going with the program. It just takes some time to essentially put the founding blocks together.
Now, Dr. Pomahawk, in your 2011 talk here at TEDx Boston, you also mentioned that one of the continuing major hurdles in transplantation was, of course, the threat of immunological rejection of the donor organ. And in this case, we're talking about an entire face, and that transplantation patients may have to stay on immunosuppressing drugs for the rest of their lives. Have there been any developments on that front, or are your patients still going to, you know, look at the rest of their lives and have to take these medications?
Yes, so certainly our patients are still requiring immunosuppressive medications, although fortunately we're finding that they require very low dosages. And in general, the side effects and complications seem to correlate to dosing. So low dosages translate into low number of complications. And after the first initial months, many patients have had virtually no problems. But I think there is still need to move the boundary forward, and there are many great immunologists in Boston and elsewhere in the United States working on overcoming the burden of rejection and trying to manipulate either the tissues or the recipient patient in a fashion that would prevent rejection from occurring and install sort of a state of what's called tolerance, the lack of rejection. But we're not there yet, and hopefully we'll get there within the coming years.
Now, Dr. Pomahawk, transplantation techniques have come so far that you're obviously doing face transplants. Children's Hospital recently announced that it was going to do hand transplants on younger children. I'm even reading about the possibility of leg transplants now. I mean, how far have we come? Basically, are we going to be able to have, you know, replacements for, given that if there are donors, for just about any body part?
Right. So I think that at the present time, there is really no better alternative for replacement of missing human parts with identical ones except transplantation. And we're really encouraged by the results that we see from our face transplant population. And we're trying to apply similar principles to upper extremities, lower extremities, but probably in the future to other tissues as well, as seen fit. So I think that there really are no boundaries surgically. The boundaries are sort of the pros and cons of lifelong immunosuppression versus a benefit what particular tissue may provide.
Hmm. Now, Dr. Pomahawk, in the last couple of minutes that I have with you, because I know obviously you're headed towards another surgery here, I just wanted to talk briefly about your own background because it's so fascinating. You attended medical school in the Czech Republic and wanted to come to Boston to get further training in the program there at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And so I understand you wrote a letter to Dr. Elof Erickson,
yes,
the hospital's chief of plastic surgery, asking for a job in his lab, and you ended up coming over here to Boston to work for free in the lab? Is that how you got your foothold here?
Yeah, I wrote a couple letters, one to Dr. Erickson and one to Dr. Monaco at Deaconess Hospital back then. And both of them had no openings in the laboratory, but I was very motivated to come and learn techniques, spend some time in the lab, and happened to meet with Dr. Erickson first. And after the meeting, I became convinced that that's what I want to do and offered to work for free. That's great. Right.
Interesting. And it seems that your career is marked by the personality and desire to even reject advice that you may have received from your colleagues before. Because I know you received, you know, in the early days, you received pushback from colleagues about whether or not face transplants should even be done, and the pros and cons of having to be on lifelong immunosuppressants. I guess what's your advice for fellow ambitious thinkers out there in terms of the importance of rejecting advice when it's given?
Well, I actually think that I'm, in general, very respectful of authorities and tend to go along with advice, but one should never forget that there is enormous power in independent thinking, and if you have sort of a gut feeling that something is worth pursuing, then it probably is. And certainly, in my case, I would never be happy unless I explored the possibilities as I did. So I think my advice would be stay independent thinkers.
Well, Bowden Pomahawk is the director of the Burn Center and Plastic Surgery Transplantation Unit at Brigham and Women's Hospital. He and his team performed the first successful face transplant in 2011. They've done four more since then. He spoke at TEDx Boston in 2011. Dr. Pomahawk, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, Farah Pandit, who spoke earlier today at TEDx Boston about generation change across the Muslim world. This is Radio Boston's special coverage of the 5th TEDx Boston Conference, live from the Seaport World Trade Center. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Stick with us. We'll be right back.